Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this service on Sunday, the 19th of December, 2021. We're in the season of Advent. As we've said previously, the word Advent means coming. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus at Christmas time, and also looking forward to the second coming of Jesus at some time in the future. Each of the Sundays of Advent, we've focused on a particular theme. We've had the themes already of love, of hope, of peace, and now today's theme will be joy. So we're going to look at the topic of Christian joy today, particularly focused on the Christmas story. And it's also a great opportunity for us to enjoy some Christmas carols together. I love some of these carols. We don't get the chance to sing them very often, so it's wonderful that we can enjoy them now. Let me share my screen with you. Our first song is that beautiful one, O Come, All Ye Faithful. I love the chorus, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. So let's sing this song together. Feel free to sing wherever you are.
Oh, come, ye, oh, come.
Every week during Advent, we've been lighting a candle just to symbolize those 4 weeks of Advent, of coming, of Jesus coming. And I've got my candle with me here today. I'm going to light the candle of joy today. I won't say too much now because I'll be sharing the message on joy afterwards. But just remember, Christmas is a season of joy, a season to be joyful, and that joy is based on God. So let me light this candle. Okay, so there's my little candle there, the candle of joy. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy that comes from you. We acknowledge that sometimes in our lives we don't experience your joy, but we want to, Lord, more and more. We pray, Lord, through the service today that we would just learn more about your joy, Lord, the joy that you bring. We thank you, Lord, you are with us this what can be sometimes a busy time of year. And I just pray, Lord, this will be a time aside for each of us when we take our minds away from the busyness of lots of things maybe to get done. Maybe some are traveling, going on holiday or visiting family or still have shopping to do. Help us, Lord, to focus on you now and the joy that comes from knowing you. So lead us, Lord, as we go through this service together here online. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll leave my candle here burning. And we're going to go now to our second of our three Christmas songs. I'm sure it'll be one that you know very well. Another very popular and well-known Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Again, please join in if you feel you want to. Such a powerful song, isn't it? I love it. Some of the words of the Christmas carols are amazing. Pleased as man, with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, born to give them second birth. Isn't that amazing? All right, let's go now to our Bible readings. Okay, so as I've said, we've had the four themes: love, hope, peace, and joy. And our readings today, the first reading is from Luke chapter 2, from verses 6 to 14. While they were there, that's Mary and Joseph, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And our second reading comes from Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then from verses 9 to 12. Titled "The Magi Visit the Messiah." After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So let's look now at our message on joy. And again, Lord, please lead us now by your Holy Spirit as we share some thoughts on these passages together. Bless and encourage us today, Lord, through your word, Lord, not my words, through the word of God. In Jesus' name, may the glory go to you. Amen. So we've got the word joy, which of course is a noun, then a couple of adjectives to describe joyful or overjoyed, and the verb is to rejoice. And I want us to be clear at the start of the message that there is a difference between the word joy and the word happiness. We often confuse the two, and we can get ourselves into trouble when we think, "Oh, I don't feel joyful." And actually, maybe sometimes we mean, "I don't feel happy." But there is a difference, and we're going to look at that now. Before we move on, a question for you. Again, you can't answer aloud, but just be thinking yourself: is life always full of joy? When we think back on this last year, it's been an extraordinary year. Of course, we've had COVID-19 the whole year. We've had separation from family and friends through not being able to travel, whether that be in New Zealand or overseas. We've had lots of freedoms, things that we normally take for granted, just like shopping, getting a haircut, going to the gym, traveling to another part of the country. There's been fear. There's been a lot of fear about the COVID-19 virus and getting sick. There's been anxiety around that. We see in the media lots of cases every day, and sometimes we hear of hospitalizations and occasionally death. So there's been anxiety in the community. And stress. The whole COVID thing has meant a lot of changes in people's lives. And that has caused stress, whether it's stress in the family or stress in the workplace. There's been very definite things such as loss of work and income for some people. Some have lost their jobs. That could be for various reasons. It could be because there's been no business for those workplaces during the pandemic and just no income, so they've had to close. So there's been very real consequences for some people. And I know, even within our own church, there's been times of personal distress and problems that you and we have experienced during this year. And that's not easy. I mean, for me, some of you know, my stepfather passed away in May of this year, and that's been very hard. We've not been able to go to the UK to support family there, and my mum is very lonely. So it's not been what I would call really a joyful year. But what does joy really mean from a biblical point of view? I looked on the Christianity.com website, and I liked their definition. So the question there, what is the definition of real joy? Simply put, biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. Why? Because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work in and through our lives. We can choose to respond with joy, even during times of trials and sufferings. Joy is a choice, but it does come from the Lord, and he alone is the originator of true joy. We don't have to produce it or drum it up on our own. So basically, happiness is more external and can change, but joy is that inner contentment and satisfaction, regardless of what's going on around us. And we can choose to experience joy. So let's look in more detail at the Christmas story. We all know the story very well. Jesus, that's incredible in itself, that Almighty God allowed himself to become born as a baby into this earth, not in a palace, but in a simple manger, because there was no space in the guest room. Many people had to come back to their hometowns for a census. The town was very busy. This was the only place where they could find to put Jesus, in a manger, probably with the animals around. The shepherds are an integral part of this story. From what we know of biblical shepherds, they were not the most popular people. Some people thought they were dishonest criminals, and they lived out in the fields looking after the sheep. But it's interesting that the angel appeared to them, not any of the other people, but the angel appeared to these shepherds, and with such glory that they were, of course, terrified. And there's a standard line from angels, "Do not be afraid." Obviously, they were. And in these verses, we can see the joy. So do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news is a translation of the word the gospel. I bring you the gospel, or I bring you good news that will cause what? Great joy. For who? For all the people. This message that would bring great joy, the angel said, is for everyone, for all the people. What is that good news? Tells us in the next line. Today, in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is where the joy comes from. A Savior has been born. Jesus came into the world to be our Savior, to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for us, and to save us for our sins. That is a fact. That is truth that will never change. And we can take great joy from that fact, that we have a Savior. God offers us the free gift of salvation. This was backed up by not just one angel, but a great company of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There must have been a pretty spectacular sight for those shepherds, a great company of angels praising God, giving God the glory. The other story that we've looked at is about the Magi. Now, who were these Magi? And again, I've got an article here I'm going to read from. So the Magi were probably Persian or Arabian astrologers who charted the stars and attached religious significance to their movements. They were not kings, as is sometimes supposed, but may have advised kings. We don't know if there were three of them, or they are often portrayed in pictures as just being three, but we don't know the exact number. Many people in the ancient world believed that stars announced the birth of great people. The Roman historian Suetonius and Tacitus even spoke of an expectation that a world ruler would come from Judea. So that's what these men were doing. They studied the stars and they saw this special star and followed it, truly believing that it was going to lead them to the King of the Jews. And what did they want to do? It tells us on there, we've come to worship him. They go to King Herod, and King Herod, of course, is very suspicious because he's the king. He's not looking forward to someone else being the king. So he says to them, go and find this baby, and then come back, tell me where he is, so I can go and worship him too. This, of course, was a plan from Herod to destroy Jesus. So then the Magi went on their way and followed the star. God was the one leading the star until it stopped over the place where the child was. What's the reaction of the Magi? When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Not just a little bit of joy, but overjoyed. Joy flowing out from them. Why? Because they knew they had come to see the king, the future king of the Jews. That's what gave them the joy. They reached their goal. They'd followed the star to see the king, and they found the king. What was their response? When they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The joy came in finding Jesus the King. The response was bowing down in worship. So for us, how do we experience joy? We've said before, we don't always feel that joy, and particularly in a year like this when it's been hard. So joy is certainly not always from our circumstances. Circumstances can seem to be the opposite and can seemingly rob us from our joy. Joy comes from choosing to focus on God. So again, it's not a feeling, it's a choice that we make to focus on God. Joy comes from an attitude of praise and worship, like the angels in the first reading, like the Magi in the second reading. They bowed down and worshipped. And joy comes from realizing that God is ultimately in control. He is the one that holds all things in his hands. And as we acknowledge that, our joy can come. Take our eyes off of our circumstances, focus on God, worship him, realize that he's in control, rest in that, and our joy can come. Don't ignore your circumstances. Don't try to pretend everything's wonderful when it's not. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm in this tough situation. It's really hard, Lord, but I choose to believe that you are God. I'm in this tough situation, but I choose to believe that you are the King. I'm in this really tough situation, but I choose to believe that you are faithful. I'm in this tough situation, but I choose to believe that you love me, Lord. Thank you for that. That's when our joy can come, when we realize God is God, and we let him be God. As always, Jesus is our example. Now, these verses in Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, I won't read them all, but in the middle there, I want to point out one little phrase, which is quite insightful. It talks about why Jesus died on the cross. And it says, for the joy set before him, he, Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you're anything like me, I know sometimes I grow weary. Sometimes I lose heart. Jesus went to the cross for the joy set before him. The cross itself, of course, was far from joyful. The cross was brutal, violent, painful, unjust. But Jesus did it because of the joy set before him. He knew that by dying on the cross, he would achieve eternal salvation for all who believed in him. That was his joy. And we can consider Jesus. We can think on him. Think, yes, he is our example. Jesus could feel joy in the midst of a very, very difficult situation because his eyes weren't on the painful circumstances. His eyes were on a future goal of what that would accomplish. So, reasons for joy this Christmas. Don't look at our circumstances. These things I want to mention are unchanging and don't depend on those external circumstances. One thing to give us great joy, Jesus, our Savior, was born. We have salvation. We have the gift of eternal life from him. That's a great reason for joy. Whatever this life is like, one day we're going to be face to face with our Savior for eternity in heaven. We have salvation in him. It's wonderful. It can keep us joyful even when things are tough. The Magi, when they came and worshipped Jesus as king, and we can do the same. We acknowledge that God is king. He's still in control, even when our circumstances seem so difficult. Like this year, it's been so tough for many. God is still in control. Again, we don't feel that always, but we accept it by faith. And that gives us joy, which is, again, connected to hope and peace and love. God is in control. Thank you, Lord. You're in control. I can't see it at the moment. But thank you. You are in control. It's an unchanging fact. Another reason for joy is that we have the privilege of serving the King. God has given us, his children, things that he wants us to do for him. That's amazing privilege. And another reason for joy, the Almighty God would use us to serve him. So let these things be our joy this Christmas. It's not always easy. This verse in Hebrews 13 talks about a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice is costly. A sacrifice is not always easy. But through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. At times we don't feel like we want to praise. At times we don't feel joyful. But this is saying, do it as a sacrifice through Jesus. That act of praise is precious to God, maybe even more so when we're in a hard place. And that will result in joy for us. I don't like this situation I'm in now, but Lord, I praise you anyway. Thank you, Lord. That will encourage our hearts. Maybe we think, what can I give to God? I've got nothing I can give to God. So I want to finish with the last verse of the carol in the bleak midwinter. These are hypothetical situations. We want to bring something to God, but what can I give him? Poor as I am, I have nothing. If I were a shepherd, like in the first passage that we read, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, like in the second reading, I would do my part, bring you those treasures. But I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a wise man. What can I give to God? But what I can, I give him. Give my heart. Give my heart. That's what we can do. Not just at Christmas, but every year, is to give God our heart. And I believe when we give God our heart, when we surrender our hearts to God, and we trust in him, he will give us that joy in the midst of difficult situations, in different difficult circumstances. I hope that encourages you to think more about joy that comes from God. And I want to close now with a final song. And again, I'll share my screen with you. And let's enjoy this, again, another lovely carol.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let me pray to finish. So So we thank you, Lord, for this short service today. Thank you we've been able to revisit the Christmas story and focus on joy. And Lord, please give us your joy, the joy that we can get from focusing on the truth and the facts of the good news, Lord, that you are our Saviour. That's never going to change. The fact that you are our King, and you are in control when things around us seem difficult. Thank you to give us the joy of serving you and worshipping you. We thank you for this special Christmas season. Help us, Lord, not to get so busy that we forget you. And remember that Jesus really is the reason for the season. It's all about you celebrating your birth. We thank you that you came as a baby and grew into a man who died for us and rose again. Thank you for your incredible love. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, everybody. Enjoy your last few days of Christmas preparations and a very happy and blessed and safe Christmas to each of you. God bless you and bye-bye.